excited about this morning because what I'm going to teach on is 100% against the grain of the culture. That means I'm going to talk about everything that is opposite to what we are immersed in the culture we live in. And I'm really excited. So lock the doors. Don't let anybody out. Now, before I start, I just want to address a couple of types of people that might be here. You could be here and you're just a guest, or you're not just a guest. You're an amazing guest. We welcome. We're glad we have guests here. Hallelujah. Or maybe you're a person here that you don't even know who the Lord is. We're excited you're here. You could be here and you're just kind of a new follower. This is all new to you. You finally got a Bible and you've received Jesus and it's just kind of new. Or you could be just, you know, you haven't been coming here for a long time and you're just kind of wide-eyed watching this whole thing and we are very excited you're here. Or you could be a follower and you have been, you're a follower of Jesus. You've received Jesus into your life, but you have been so immersed into the culture, the people, the culture that's out there, and you're just still there. So this is my challenge. Would you please, don't turn me off. Would you just listen to what I have to say to the very end? Keep your ears open, all right? You know, don't shut me down. Keep open. And at the end, you can make a decision. If you are going to say, yep, that's absolutely right, Pastor D, or you're not. It's okay. But I just need you to say, I'm going to listen to the very end. Because again, I want to tell you, we live in a culture right now, and what I'm going to share is 100% just the opposite of what's out there, okay? Praise the Lord. Now you can smile. I want to start by telling you a story, and this is my life. I love telling people come up to me going, holy cow, Pastor D, you were like that. Well, yeah, I was like that, but I want to tell you a story. It is the summer. I've just finished my junior year at college. I went to York College. And I'm home for the summer. I've had a tragedy in my life. I've told you all, my twin brother was killed in an auto accident. And I have cried out to God. I am on the top bunk in bunk beds in my house, and I cried out to God. And I said, God, if you're real, I need to know. And I need to know now. Words went out, right? So the crazy things happened that summer, like I did for the last four summers. I worked as a lifeguard. Thank you, Jesus. My uniform is no longer a bathing suit. Oh, gosh. Think about that. Okay, so I'm working as a lifeguard that summer, and remember what I had cried out. God, if you're real, I need to know. Beginning that summer, God would put people in my path, smash in my face, that were Christians, followers of Jesus. And it was just like one after another. Then I go back to college. September school starts really at the end of August. I go back to college, and one of my dear friends invited me to a grow group, a home Bible fellowship. And that is where I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus, because I had prayed, God, if you're real, show me. And that day, the leader of the Bible study just nailed me. And I was like, whoa, you know, how did you know that? But just nailed me. And I knew that I knew that God was real, that I would receive him. I did. I received him into my life. I said, Lord, you're real. I need you in my life. I received Jesus as my Savior. And believe me, that's about the depth of my knowledge. It didn't go really big there. So, As the months go by, I'm now a senior in college. I'm going to school to be an elementary school teacher. I slowly get a Bible. I'm slowly reading my Bible. And it's my last semester. I'm actually doing my student teaching. And I did my student teaching in Dallas Town. What's that? Loganville Elementary? Did a lovely place. Just great teachers. I'm doing that. And okay, let me back up. So the teaching department, by the time you hit your junior and senior year, is kind of small. It's kind of like us four, no more. There's more than that. But you've had classes for 4 years together. You get to know one another. You hang out together. We go to classes and seminars together. And there's this guy that I have been flirting with for 4 years. His name is Tony, okay? And it's reciprocal. He's flirting back with me. And now it's our last semester, and it's taken it up to another level. And finally, the guy asks me out, and we start dating my last semester in college. Okay, I am a follower of Jesus. Guess who was not? Tony. Okay? And I'm reading my Bible, minding my own business. Has that ever happened to you? You're just reading it, you know, and I'm minding my own business, and God keeps putting these scriptures in front of me. And it's like, oh, come off it, God. What, are you kidding me? One, I'm dating a non-believer. Two, without getting in, because I have my nieces and nephews, so I'm going to sit and look at the back wall there. Going to get into some things I should not do, right? Getting really close there. And the Lord starts speaking these scriptures to me, you know, about being unequal yoked and being sexually pure. And I'm just giving him a hard time. Actually, I'm arguing with him. For weeks, I have this argue with him. Okay, and then I did something that I think all of you should do. And the title of my message is Surrender. See it on your page? Surrender is pleasing God. At that point, I just threw up the Bible, threw up my hands, and I said, Lord, I surrender my heart. I surrender my life to you. God, I just want to please you. God, I will do what you want me to do. So, got out a piece of paper. I wrote a Dear John letter. That went away. Okay. And as far as, you know, other things in my life, it was really interesting. One of the things that I kept hearing in my grow group, because they just bring this up out of the blue. They would talk about the people that you hang with, you know. So I've been hanging with non-believers for 4 years, well, really for like 20 years, okay. And they would just bring this up. And so I said, well, God, I'm not giving up any of my friends. And you know what God does? Well, one, I started going to a church. All right, and God started bringing believers into my life. Just bringing believers into my life. I had a whole new set of friends. And the crazy thing is, all the old bunch, most of them moved out of town, right? They took jobs or they went back home. So that was easy. I thought, oh, Lord, you just love me because, you know. So anyway, today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the culture. Because the culture that we live in right now is telling you everything opposite of what this word of God will tell you, right? I was talking to Pat and Carl, and I was like, man, I'm down to watching like one TV show because I can't watch. The culture's so immersed in it. And you know what it is? You know what I'm down to that's safe? Cooking shows. That's about it, okay? So anyway, the big idea, top of your page, here we go. The one thought I want you to get so ingrained into your brain that you walk out of here and it just talks to you all day long. The big thing I want you to understand is, ready? We surrender to God so we can live like God. That's what you're going to walk out of here. And some of you are like, oh, Pastor D, I know that. No, I want you to know that we surrender to God so we can live like him. All right? Now, the crazy thing about that is we surrender to God so we can live like him in every area of our life. Every area of your life. And this is why I'm on the floor singing these songs this morning going, that's so cool. Because we sang about it. Okay. I think I'm hot. Jeez. Gosh. All righty. You know, if it was up to me, I'd put the AC on, but then y'all get mad at me and I want you to love me. So here we go. So we're going to talk about the culture, and actually we're going to talk about sex. And some of you are thinking, oh, for crying out loud, Pastor D, you're going to talk about sex again? Are you kidding me? You make me uncomfortable. Okay, ask me why I do it. I do it for your kids. I do it for your grandkids. I'm doing it for your great-grandkids. And if you're not married, I'm doing it for your nieces and nephews. I am doing it for this generation that is younger than you. And then I just cracked up. I was writing this the other night, and I thought, are you kidding me? You should see what comes into my office. They're my age, and they are just living in the culture. Okay, they got the same issues, so I'm going to talk about it. And besides, it's the Word of God. All right, so everybody say, we surrender to God. So we can. All right. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, Pastor D, I don't have any problems with purity. I'm as pure as snow. Okay. Well, how about if God starts pushing your buttons? He says, yeah, but I want you to clean up your words. And not the four-letter bombs either. Like, I want you to clean up gossip. Okay? How about if the Lord starts telling you that and you have to surrender that to the Lord? How about if the Lord starts, you know, showing you. And listen, he does not come and smack you with a bat. I may, but he doesn't. It's always these little nudges, and they're nonstop. So how about he starts nudging you and he says, I want you to clean up anger in your life, unforgiveness in your life, okay? And you have to go, I surrender, all right? So, praise the Lord. The big idea, let's say it again, we surrender to God so we can live like him. All righty. So, I'm going to talk about some sexual areas because this culture is telling you it is okay. Everybody's doing it. There's nothing wrong. It'll be okay. Right? Yeah, well, that's what they're telling us. And I want to make sure you understand what this Bible says. I want you to understand. And even bigger than that, I want you to understand God's heart. God's heart, why he writes what he tells us, okay? So you have to understand his heart. So that's what we're going to do today. Alrighty, so if you were to ask me, hey, Pastor D, what is God like? What is God like? Well, I'm still getting to know God, but the one thing I do know, or really, I know two things today, but God is love, right? Everybody hear that? God, besides it's in your notes, right? Look at that. God is love, all right? And the crazy thing, God doesn't have to try to be love. He doesn't have to try to be love. God is love. And the Bible says, that's actually, it is... You know, I say this, and I still can't get my head into it. It's his nature, all right? But God is love. He's not trying to be love. I tried to do it, but God is love, all right? So the second thing is if you were to ask me, hey, Pastor D, what else is God like? I would say God is holy. God is holy. He's not trying to be holy. He is holy, right? Now, who likes Hershey's milk chocolate? I kind of switched over to dark chocolate. Okay, praise the Lord. Mary, your hand went up. Mary, this is a Hershey's chocolate bar, right?
Yep.
What's it say?
Milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate. It's actually solid, all right? Is this trying to be a turkey, a bar?
Nope.
No, it is. Good, you get it.
Thank you.
God is love. God is holy. Okay, that's who God is. Now, that's the foundation so that we can say we surrender to God so we can live like him. Unless you know that, you know that, you know that. What was I watching? I was watching a dumb movie. Okay, I won't tell you what I watched. I watched a dumb movie. And they had the preacher up in one of those cathedrals, and he's talking about how God took this young boy, was killed and, you know, murdered and stuff like that. I was like, no, you don't even know foundational course number one. God is love. God is love. He doesn't do that, okay? So God is love and God is holy. Amen? Now, turn over to 1 Peter. Ready? 1 Peter, first scripture. Man, I still got tears going down my eyes. Shoot. So hot. Oh, gosh. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 15. But be holy now in everything you do. Okay, put on the brakes. Who wrote 1 Peter?
Peter.
Right. Okay, Peter is the guy. He's like the big three. He's the big three that hung out with Jesus, all right? And he is forever just blowing up his mouth. Anybody identify with that? Okay. He gets called on the carpet, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, because of his big mouth. He's just like super impulsive. He cuts a guy's ear off, and he's just bananas, right? Peter writes this. Ready? Peter's also the one that denied Jesus. And this is many years later, and there has been a transformation in this guy. And listen to what he says. Be holy now in everything you do. Okay, guys, in everything you do, that means in your conversation, in your behavior, How about in every department of your life? And he's not just talking about sexually being holy and pure. He's talking about every part of your life. Okay, so be holy now in everything you do, just as the Lord is, right? That's okay. Who invited you to be his child, okay? That's what happens when you accept Jesus Christ to be Lord in your life. You ask him into your life, and now you're a child of God, okay? Praise God, you're a kid of the King. All right, verse 16. He himself said, you must be holy, for I am holy. Underline the word must. Guess what? That's a command. That's a command. That's a better, okay, that's a little, a mandate. Do you like that word better? That is a mandate from God. You must be holy, for I am holy. And we've just gone over that. Okay, now the crazy thing about that, God wants us to grow into it, right? Grow into it. And we're going to talk about what happens on the inside and then the second part of our what we do with it, all right? But God wants us to be holy, and it's a process. How many would say, baby, it is a process? It's been a process, all right? Now, if any of you would compare yourself to Jesus, he'd be up here, right? And the rest of us, we're probably down here, right? As far, okay? I don't care if you're Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, or Joel Olstein with his big smile, okay? All of us are in a process. All of us are working this out. It's a process to live to live holy, all righty? And if you were to ask me, Pastor D, what's your goal in life? This is my, and I hope it's yours too. My goal is this time next year, I have lived more holy. That's my goal. And if you would have saw, like last Sunday, didn't do so good. Yep. But I'm living better this year, okay? I'm letting what's inside of me is coming outside of me, all righty? Praise God. Second thing, if you were to ask me, what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be holy? Depending on your church background, depending on your cultural background, I'm going to give you a definition. Because depending on where you've come from, yours might be off the wall, right? So I'm going to give you a definition. And the word holy is hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S. That's about as far as I'll speak Greek with you. All right, write that down so you can impress somebody at lunchtime. Got some lunchtime conversation going, all right? So holy means hagios in the Greek. And I'm actually going to split it into two definitions for holy, because we have a definition concerning God who is holy, and then we have a definition that concerns us, all right? So I'm going to split it up. The first one, yeah, I think I typed it out for you, yep. Concerning God, what does it say? Okay, venerate. Okay, I don't use that in my vocabulary, but that means that God is worthy of great reverence. God is worthy of great respect. God is worthy actually to the point where we are in awe. All righty? But you can write down venerate. So that last part where God is sacred, God is worthy of great respect and all that stuff, okay? That puts God in a class way up here, right? That just puts him in a class that you and I are not in. And because he is sacred and worthy of respect and awe, I just worship him, right? I worship him. Don't go worshiping me, right? We worship God, right? Because of that, I worship him, just like today. I worship him. Alrighty, now, second part is the definition for holy or holiness, okay, concerning me, concerning you, concerning man. It's a little bit different. And let's read what it says. It says here, concerning man, mentally and physically pure, consecrated. One Vines said ceremonial consecrated. And I was like, okay, we're going to talk about that. So that part here, what do you mean? Pastor D. All right, let me back up. I went too far. Before I go into man, the first two that I gave you for God, he was sinless and pure. Part of God, of the holiness of God, is sinless and pure. All right? And you know what I love about God? He threw an example on the earth for us, and his name is Jesus. Okay? So Jesus comes to the earth, and he is all of God, right? But on the inside, he's human. So when you read your Bible, you'll see Son of God and Son of Man. You ever read that? And you go, whoa, who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus, because he is 100% God. He's 100% man. He had to come down to do this. All right, now, Jesus, let's talk about Jesus. When Jesus walked on the earth, he was pure and sinless, right? But how many of you ever read that Jesus was tempted, right? The story in the wilderness, he was tempted, all right? He was tempted. Now, let me write this down. Temptation is, you write this down better yet. Temptation is not a sin. It is not a sin. Not a sin, okay? What happens afterwards is another story. And what it means is you have thoughts hitting you in the brain, right? Thoughts are hitting your mind. So here we have Jesus, holy. God is holy. Jesus is holy, right? Here's Jesus who's holy, is sinless and pure. He comes to the earth. And guess what? In the wilderness, he's getting thoughts, right? He's having encounters. And what does he do? Cast them down. Cast them down. Cast them down. So the Bible says he was tempted, having thoughts, just like in every area that you and I have. Okay? And what did he do? Cast him down. Cast him down. And so therefore, he is sinless. He is pure. So I want to worship him. Amen? All right, now, getting ahead. I was getting my head myself. So man, concerning man, they are mentally and physically pure. Concerning man and holiness, we are consecrated. So what does it mean to be consecrated? Well, that's what we talked about last week. We said when you receive Jesus into your life, The real you, or we call the spirit man or the hidden man of the heart, becomes brand new. I am brand new. Praise God. Brand new. Okay? And God, who is holy, guess who comes and lives inside of me? A holy God. My spirit's holy. I'm made in his image. Glory to God. All right? So that's the consecrated part of me. My spirit man is, and we talked about it last week, we are chosen, we are perfect, we are holy, and we are secure, and we're holy, okay? We're holy. That's the consecrated part of me that's what it is. But then I got the rest of me, okay? It's the rest of how I live my life, all right? And that's the part it says to be mentally and physically pure, all right? So that could mean I need to forgive so-and-so. Okay, because I want to be pure. I need to, I need to be pure sexually because I'm holy, all right? And I want to live this out. So what's on the inside, I want to live out. What's on the inside? Holy. But I have to make decisions to live out. I have to make choices to live it out, all right? So that's part of holy. That's who we are. Now, I grew up in the 70s. I love 70s music. That, but now I listen to it, I go, oh my gosh, that was bad. Devil in the blue dress. I'm like, wow, what are they singing these songs, okay? All right. The culture was not so good. Right? Anybody grew up in the 70s? Go to high school, college, okay. Not so good. Matter of fact, it was pretty bad when you think about it. Yeah. I was going to say it was, because I'm a believer now, okay? Now, actually, the culture now has escalated, don't you think? Yep. And then think about it. We have so much easy access media that it makes this culture just go off the chart. All righty? All right? So today, would you all agree that the culture is a lot different than when your parents grew up? All right? It is, okay? Now, I said all of that to say, if I don't teach this stuff in church, right, like today, you're not going to go hunt it down and read it and study it. Google, can you tell me about being holy because I'm supposed to be holy? Come on. Is the culture going to do that? Probably not. No, probably not. So pastors have to come out and say this stuff. That's why I'm saying this stuff. And listen, it's taken me a long time to get up and say this in front of people. So I look at the spot on the wall over there and some of this. But anyway, pastors, teachers, Bible studies, and even you have to be able to say, hey, this is what's in the Bible. right? This is what's in the Bible. And this is what's in the Bible in this area for your life. This is for you, for your life, because God is love. He loves you. So he's going to put this in there. And though the trick is you have to do it in a loving, non-condemning way, right? You have to do it. And so we kind of went over that last week. Remember I said last week, no matter what you do, no matter what you don't do, God loves you as much now as he's always going to love you, okay? As opposed to I could have said, you totally botched up last week. You know, God doesn't love you. No. I don't care. You know, you can choose to do this. And you can choose to do that. But God loves you. When you're a believer, he loves you. His love doesn't change. It is love, all right? So I try to bring some things out in a non-condemning and loving way. Sometimes I don't talk so good, and you guys can correct me, okay? But it's amazing. And, you know, the things that we do in life, we don't do to get approval because he loves us. We don't do it so he'll accept us because he already loves that. He's already loves us, all right? We do those things like you are, and God shows us his love. Last week we said you are forever chosen, you are forever perfect, you are forever holy, and you are forever secure. You talk about God loves you. He loves you, all righty? So why do we do things? We do them. Why do we walk this life out? We do it to please God. Just because, how about this? We do it to make him smile. Right? Just real simple. All right? But he loves us. He loves us. All righty. Okay, question. What does it mean to surrender? Okay? What does it look like to surrender? And we sang that song. It's just beautiful. I'm going, hot dog, man. They got the song with the message here. Okay, so what does it mean to surrender? All righty? This is what I've learned. If I can get you to surrender your heart to the Lord, then when you open up your Bible, and it's a word that talks, this is a word that's alive, this is a word that has life for you. So if I can get you to surrender your heart to the Lord, when you read this, you'll go, all right, God, I'll do that. Right? Yeah. All right. Or, you know, you can be like me and you can argue scriptures with the Lord. Yep. Not so much anymore. I'm getting a little better, but God, this is all unrealistic. God, don't you know this is going to be hard? God, what are you kidding me? That's so old-fashioned. All right. And then finally, I surrender. And you know what I also found out? When God's bringing light on a scripture, I'm losing. He wins. So what I've decided, I know sometimes it takes me a day or two. I'll say, God, because my heart is surrendered to you, I will. Praise the Lord. Write this down. If I didn't write it down for you, I didn't write it down. Here we go. Something. Surrender is offering your minds and your bodies as a sacrifice. All right? To who? To God. Surrendering is offering your minds, your bodies, your whole life as a sacrifice to God. And you know what that simply means is you are the boss. Right? You're the boss. I'm not the boss. You're the boss. That's all that means. You should write that down. I surrender. You're the boss. 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 Okay? Like God was dealing with me to forgive so-and-so. Are you kidding me? Just want to rip their hair out, smash their face in the wall. Okay? And God's gone. I'm like, okay, I surrender. Or, gossip. You know, I had an argument with God. God, you know, I don't do this anymore, this anymore, this anymore, and gossip's fun. I really enjoy it, God. Are you kidding me? And he goes, no. I was like, okay. So, you know what I did? I said, okay, God, I'm going to stop because I know it's not pleasing to you. Because, by the way, gossip is talking about somebody bad and they're not present. And I get snagged on that, you know. It's just now, if you were to say gossip, I was like, oh, I don't. Okay, I'll stop that. But it just kind of is a little stinky little thing that kind of creeps in there. Okay, so I said, okay, God, I stop. And you know, the crazy thing about God is he comes alongside and he helps you. He helps you when you say, I surrender, I will. He'll come alongside and help you, and it gets better. and easier. All right. Hey, turn over to Romans 12:1. Most of you know this one. It's such a good scripture. Every scripture in the Bible is a good scripture, all right? Every scripture in the Bible is my favorite. I say that every... Oh, it's one of my favorites. Here we go. Say, praise God when you get to Romans 12:1. Okay, good. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Raise your hand if you are a brother or sister. That means you're a believer. That means you have surrendered your life. You are a follower of the Lord Jesus. So he is writing to Christians, all right? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay, look at that last part. This is your true and proper worship. We just finished a worship part of our service, right? Where we were singing unto the Lord. That was worship, right? Right? Did you enjoy that? Because you don't want me singing, okay? Now, it's real interesting. Do you know there's other ways to worship? Look at this scripture. Okay, I just knocked this thing off. Here we go. There we go. That's why you wear earrings. It holds it here. This scripture says one way you can worship is you say, God, I offer my mind and my body to you. God, I surrender it to you. God, I'm going to live the way you say so. I'm serious. That's what God says there, right? Okay, I'm going to read that whole scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your proper worship. This is worship. God, I offer myself. I surrender. I'm going to do as you say. Everybody say, that was worship. That's worship. Some of us worship a lot all through the day then, huh? There's some days, oh God, I'm going to just, okay, so worship, all right. Now, motivation. Before my girls got married, I was motivated to lose weight. First one I did great, second one I did good, last one I lost 2 pounds, okay. But I was motivated, all right. I don't know what you guys get motivated about. What are you guys motivated? I don't know. Motivated. So, what is the motivation to offer, to surrender my life, my mind, my body as a living sacrifice? What is my motivation? Because I like motivation, right? Okay, listen to this. Therefore, I urge you, this is the motivation, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So why do we offer our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice? Because of what God has done for me. He has saved me. What's that mean, Pastor D? He forgave me of all my past, present, and future sins. He's wiped the slate clean. He has brought me into his family. He's adopted me into his family. I have been made a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Okay? So what's my motivation? Right? Because of what he's done for me. I surrender. I mean, come on, guy. That's the least I can do. He's done everything. And he continues to do everything in my life. So what is the motivation? Because he saved me and forgave me. Then I say, Lord, I've seen what you've said. I've heard what you said. I present this issue, this area in my life as a living sacrifice to you. I surrender to you, to please you. Amen? Okay, motivation, why we do this. Alrighty. Remember, we surrender to God because so that we can live like God. We surrender to God so we can live like God. All right, Jesus said it in a whole different way. In a whole different way. And it's found in Matthew and Luke. But remember when Jesus said, hey, if you want to be my disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. All right? That's Jesus that said that. Okay, so what does that mean? All right? Nowadays, I see people that wear crosses as jewelry, all right? I see crosses on the wall. Do you know that we don't have a cross in this church on the wall? Okay, maybe someday. I don't know. All right, but people put crosses on the wall. That's how we think about crosses today. cross back in the Bible days when Jesus was walking the earth, the cross was an instrument of death. It meant death, right? So if Jesus were to come around today and make that same statement, if you want to be my disciples, pick up your electric chair and follow me, right? That's probably what he could have said, except for I don't think they do it that way anymore, all right? So that's probably what he would have said. So what is he saying? What is he saying? Hey, you need to die. Now, not literally. Don't shoot your brains out. He's not talking about that literally. He's talking about, God, I surrender my life to you. I surrender this area to you. I surrender my mouth to you. I surrender my body to you. That's all he's talking about. So he's saying the same thing, right? Now, how many of you would raise your hand and say, that's a little tough to do sometimes? Yeah, both hands go up. All right, all right. So we can agree. And you know why? You know why? And I used to think it was just guys, and then I had to fess up, it's me. Because I want to be the leader. I like being the leader, right? I like calling the shots. I like being the boss. Don't you like being the boss? Some of you that have only had your own business, go work for somebody, all right? I like being the boss, all righty? So what I'm saying is, God, I don't like you telling me what to do. Not you guys. That's that church down there, right? That's my somebody else, all right? I want to make my own decisions, all right? And the Lord says, we're supposed to pick up your electric chair and follow me, right? And surrender. That's what we're supposed to do. Praise God. Y'all happy? Praise the Lord. So what we're really talking is about, and I'm going to put this word in front of it, sweet surrender, right? Sweet surrender, where you say, all right, God, I recognize you as God. I thank you for what you've done, you know, saved me, forgave me. Therefore, I want to lay this down and follow after you. That's sweet surrender. You should write that down. Sweet surrender, how sweet it is, all right? Now, when you pick up your cross or your electric chair, you're actually nailing yourself to the cross. You actually do that, and that's good. And you do it in the areas that, so gossip. I have just nailed that to the cross. I have nailed that to the cross. I'm not going to do that anymore. I surrender. It's not good to talk bad about people when they're not standing next to you, right? All righty? Okay. All righty. Let's go on. Let's talk about, I think you got the point. Let's go talk about, turn over to 1 Thessalonians and let's talk about sexual purity. All righty? Because we live in a culture that is 100% opposite this. Alrighty? 1 Thessalonians is written by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the Thessalonica. Man, I tried saying that 10 times fast. It's just a joke. Okay, church. Alrighty? He's writing to a church, a particular church. But if he's writing it to a particular church, it's still good for the church today and every church afterwards, all right? So you can't go, oh, that's just to that bunch. No, no, no. It's for us today. So when he's talking at you, go, oh, this is for me. Oh, goody, 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 this is for me, all righty? Now, Thessalonica, the city there, was the second largest city in Greece at the time. It was on the coast. It was a hub of transportation. So it's not little York, New Salem where I live, right? This is a big place. And here's Paul writing this. He says, verse 1 and 2, as for the matters, brothers and sisters, okay, the matters of sexual purity he's talking about, right? As for the matters, brothers and sisters, believers, people that have received Jesus, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. So the way we live, I told you how you can please God. Not how God loves you, because God always loves you, but how you can please God. All right, get back on track, Pastor D. So we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you, and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this church. He dished out these instructions and they're doing it. Goody, goody, goody. Oh my gosh, I love it. I'm going to go home, you know? But then he says, so he's really happy with them. Then he says, and listen, we'll talk about that culture there in a few more minutes, what's really going on. But then he's encouraging them. Okay, why do you encourage people? They're struggling. You need to help, all right? So usually when I need encouragement, because I'm probably struggling because of the culture, all righty? All righty, let's jump down to verse 3. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. Sanctified is living out what's inside of you in every area of your life. Living out that you are holy in every area of your life. Sanctified, okay? It's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That's sex outside of the marriage union. That each of you should learn to control your own body. That's referring to sexually. But you could take that and run with it, okay? In a way that is holy and honorable. Not in the passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Anybody know God here? Okay, this is written to us. Okay, now let me give you background. This church, this city, Thessalonica. All righty. Culture. Woohoo, baby. They haven't even written a movie bad enough for this. Culture. The culture back then is super immoral. Immoral. Okay, and if they had the internet, man, they'd really be off the charts. But this city, Thessalonica, was the hometown of this goddess. So they built a temple for her to go worship her, this crazy goddess, all right? And you know the way they'd go worship her? They go have sex with the priests and the priestess. That's how they worshiped. That's immoral. That's perverted. That's goofy. That's the only time I'd stop you from going to church, right? Don't let your kids go to church today, guys. Keep them home, right? Okay, that's bad. Now, aside from how they worshiped, that was way bad, right? Would you come on, say that's bad, Pastor D. That's really bad. Okay. All right, they actually lived, the culture was so sex-crazed and immoral, okay? Just bananas. And now, God has birthed the church in that city. They need one, right? God started a church in that city. In the city that is whacked up, crazy, immoral, sexual. God has planted a church there, okay? And it is huge. It is growing, all righty? Now, Paul says to them, hey, guys, I want you to live sexually pure, all right? And that pleases God. That's what he just said, right? But wait a minute, that is the total opposite, go against the grain of the culture, right? Everybody around them, right? Isn't that? Sounds like today. Sounds like today. Yeah. If God says, hey, I want you to live sexually pure, our culture is saying that's just goofy. That's off the wall, all righty? So, here I am, Pastor D. And I have surrendered my life to the Lord, all righty? And I have said, God, I will not compromise your word. I will say what you say, righty? And in a loving way, right, non-condemning, all right? But I'm going to tell you what, I do this, but the final buck here is it's your decision. You can either follow what the word says. It's your choice. And I will love you. I'll still be on your case, but I love you. But it's your decision. Okay, moving on. Let's read verse 6. Hallelujah. Here we go. Verse 6. And in this matter, he's talking about sexual purity, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. Now, I've had to think about what does that mean? No one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. And we're talking sexually. So that could be the boyfriend that's pushing you to have sex before you're married. That could be so extreme as to have caused rape, right? You can interpret it that way. Or that could just be, there's a lot of could be's here. It could be just having sex outside of a marriage, right? Just thought I'd toss that out. Because you know what I'm saying, sex, 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 sex all day long here. Alrighty. Jump down to verse 7 because that's really where I want to go. And I didn't want to get into that other part. Here we go. So, verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Right? You got it? Do I have to say this again? Right? Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject human beings, like he's not rejecting Paul, you're not rejecting me, right? It says, but God. Who do you reject? But God. All righty? The very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. All righty? Now, I know none of you think this, but some people might say, she's 62 and a half years old. She's an old fogey. Why would I listen to her? All right? She's just outdated in what she believes. Okay? Now, none of you do that. Praise the Lord. And I want to go, are you kidding me? I grew up in the 70s. I know what the culture's like. Are you kidding me? God brought me out of this stuff. Woodstock. Are you kidding me? Flower power, love, free love. Are you kidding me? I am not old fogey. I know what's going on. I may look. Okay? Listen, God got me out of it, and he'll do it for you, and I'm believing for a generation that God will pull out and bring them into this place and live like that, all righty? So, now, if you're thinking that, because none of you are thinking that, you know, you're just going to throw me in the category, oh, she's just so outdated. She doesn't have a clue what the culture's like. Oh, my gosh, she's so old-fashioned. Listen, God said it. Not me. Your beef is with God, not me, right? Your beef is with God. Praise the Lord. It's not my idea. Listen, it was not my idea. You know, I was living the other way. It was not my idea. This is God's idea. And that's at the end of that verse, right? Okay? So, next question. Let's move on. It's so hot. Would you just put the AC on? Just less. I am ready to just melt here. I can't take this. It's hot in here. Somebody else? Yes, thank you. AC. AC in March. Here we go. Next question. How does a Christian obey? I can't even look at you and not laugh. How does a Christian obey purity standard of God? How do you obey any standard of God? All right? So we're talking about purity, sexual purity, but God has a whole bunch of standards. It's not just that. How do you obey that? All righty? So what we're saying is, how do I step out and say, all right, God, you said I should stop gossiping. How do I do that? God, you said I should forgive that son of a praise the Lord. How do I do that? Lord, you said I should live a sexually pure life. How do I do that? How do we do that? How do we do that, right? How do we do that? Well, write this down. Here we go. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. You do it by faith in every area of your life. Every area of your life, you do it by faith. Okay? Praise the Lord. And really, that's what I did. God, I'm going to step out and follow your instructions by faith. Right? Turn over to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Praise God. Shoot. Oh, my God. Shoot. I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt. You guys should run around up here. All right. Praise the Lord. You over at Hebrews. I was just entertaining you. Hebrews 11:6. Here we go. Everybody say this with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please who?
God.
Without faith, it's impossible to please who? Amen. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists, or all right, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly or diligently seek him. Okay, how do I live and obey the standard that God spells out? Because he loves us. Guys, I could get into a whole bunch of things, but it's because he loves us. Okay, so by faith. Now, this scripture is taken out of Hebrews 11, right? It's called the Hallmark movies, right? The Hall of Faith, right? Like you got the Baseball Hall of Faith or a Baseball Faith Hall. What is it called? Thank you. Okay. I don't like baseball. Sorry, Stephen. Just pathetic. All right. Verse 24. Everybody pop down to verse 24. Just look at it. Who's it talking about? Moses, first one. I'm out of Hershey bars. Okay, it's talking about Moses. Guys, where did Moses grow up? Egypt, in the palace of Pharaoh. Call him the king, whatever you want, name he gives, right? He grew up there, righty? So you know the story? All the Hebrew children were being killed, And Moses' mother and sister put him in a basket. And who finds him but Pharaoh's daughter? Pharaoh's daughter finds him, picks him up, takes him home, and raises him as a son of Pharaoh. He's not some little water boy, is he? Okay? He is raised in a palace in Egypt. What do you think the culture's like over there? Just use your imagination. All right? Moses is embedded in a culture in Egypt. And verse 24, 25 and 26, that says, by faith he left the sins of Egypt, the pleasures of Egypt. By faith. By faith he left and he joined himself to God's chosen people. How did he do it? By faith. All right? By faith. So, how do you do it? When you read, you know, and the Holy Spirit's saying, ooh, D, you got to knock that off. How do I do it? By faith. All right? And actually, you have to step out. There's a stepping out. God can talk to you. Some people, God, they can quote this Bible better than anybody. Definitely better than me. But the difference is you have to step out. Okay, Moses heard from God, all right? God actually demonstrated a whole bunch of things to get him out of there. And then finally he stepped out and he left and he joined himself, okay? So this is what I've noticed in my life and people that I know. Once I decide I'm reading the word and God's talking to me about things in my life, good things I should do. I mean, good things. There's a whole lot of positive things you should do for the Lord, okay, and serving him and just living your life. It's not always, you know, rah, 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 rah. There's good things, all right? So once he starts talking to me, you know what? As soon as I step out in faith, God comes alongside, right? That's called the grace of God. The grace of God comes along and helps me up. I mean, you just see him carrying me both, you know, two big guys carrying me, walking across, all right? That's the grace of God. He will strengthen you to do the thing you can't do. Well, I cannot forgive that person. Do you know what they did? The son of a sea cook, all right? I just want to rip their hair and smash their face against the wall, all right? I can't live pure. You know, come on. What are you kidding me? They'll think I'm a monk or something like that. Yes, you do. Step out because God said so. All right? You step out and he empowers you. That's called grace. And he comes along and he just does it. Now, I will tell you, that first step's a doozy. The first step is like a fight. And then the next day it seems like it's a fight. But I have stepped out and said, God, I am a living sacrifice. I am going to live holy and pure before you and for you. And as the day goes by, things are better, all right? So we have just an incredible God. So we surrender to God because we're to live like him, all righty? Guys, this is God's word. The decision's in your court. All right, I really don't care. Well, I do care because I love you guys. But, you know, it's between you and God. It is not between me and you. It's between you and God as he opens up the word to you. As he opens up, it's called light to you. And where things have been dark, it's up to you. Okay? So, I am the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Don't talk about me at lunch either. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Are you kidding me? Oh, wait. Open your eyes. Get your pen. Assignment. Okay? You have to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. That's that person that reads the word, gets fat. But you got to step out, okay? So how do we step out? I was sweating it this morning. Lord, I need to give him a homework assignment. What should I do? Okay, this is what I wrote. First, hold your Bible in the morning and say, God, this is your word to me, all right? Show me what I need to live holy in my life, everyday life, holy and pure, all right? Show me, okay? And then as he speaks to you and you go, gosh, I really don't want to do this. And God speaks to you. And then you say, God, I surrender. So, all day long, I just want your homework just to go, I surrender. I surrender. God, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. And you know, I heard, we're going to sing this song, the surrender song in a minute, but there's some people that you are holding areas of your life, and God has already talked to you that he wants you to surrender it. And you go, but God, these are my hopes and dreams. Don't you think he's got something better? Don't you think he's got greater? Just the plans of God are so high and so great for his children that he loves them just like a natural parent. So I challenge you. Some of you have had this argument with you. If you're arguing with God, just say, God, I will lay down and I surrender to you. I surrender this to you. I do it by faith. You are faithful.